Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk. Podcast.
Yeah, I mentioned Susan Awar is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Told you not to play. She's a great sponsor. We'll talk about some things related to family law, but I don't know. Brad Young's with us right now, another attorney. It seems to be attorney hour on the Mark Reardon Show. Were you invited to the Bezos wedding this weekend? I'm guessing you might have been.
Well, I was invited, but I couldn't make it, honestly.
My friend Alex Rich, who is a contributor here to this show, is getting married tomorrow, so I will be at that wedding. But the reason I bring it up is because they did this real interesting story in the Wall Street Journal on, and the headline was, Inside the Complex and Petty Prenups of the Super Wealthy. I don't think I'll ever have to worry about being super wealthy, but some of the details are kind of interesting, and Susan's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. So look, I don't even know where to start with you on the Supreme Court rulings, Brett. Quite honestly, we didn't even get into it during the Reardon Roundtable. There was a slew of decisions, many victories for the Trump administration, and I would say parents in particular today. You want to start on the injunction one?
Yeah, let's start on it. And I guess I would characterize, I would disagree somewhat with your characterization. I don't look at these as victories for Trump or victories for the Democrats. I look at them as upholding our judicial system, rulings that are that uphold the Constitution. And we saw that today in multiple circumstances.
So here's what President Trump said earlier today.
This decision, we can now promptly file to proceed with numerous policies that have been wrongly enjoined on a nationwide basis. And some of the cases we're talking about would be ending birthright citizenship, which now comes to the fore. That was meant for the babies of slaves. It wasn't meant for people trying to scam the system and come into the country on a vacation.
So he thanked the Supreme Court for many of these decisions today. Then you go to the New York Times and a guy like David Firestone that says, in an astonishing act of deference to the executive branch, the Supreme Court essentially said that district judges cannot stop an illegal presidential order from going into effect nationwide. A judge can stop an order from affecting a given plaintiff or state if one has the wherewithal to file a lawsuit. But if there's no lawsuit in the next state over, the president can get away with virtually anything he wants. So that's the spin from the other side. What do you say here? What's the real effect of this ruling?
Well, that spin from the other side that you just referenced, Mark, really ignores this idea that in our country we have a limited government. If you look at this at the Constitution, it's a limited government. It is not unlimited government. And under the Constitution, Congress is empowered to delegate authority to the courts, except for the Supreme Court. And if you look at the Judiciary Act of 1789, which is the primary law where Congress delegates authority to the courts, there's nothing in there about delegating the authority to issue nationwide injunctions. It's just not there. So really, this is a question of, is our government limited or unlimited? And in today's opinion, the court stood up for limited government, which is exactly in line with the Constitution.
Now, he's kind of claiming victory there on the birthright citizenship issue, but they didn't really address that specifically, did they?
No, in fact, the court goes to great lengths to say we're not even reaching that question because, again, this idea of what's called judicial economy, where when the court is presented with a series of questions, they want to deal with the question that it deals with the threshold issue. Can the judge, one federal court judge, say in Massachusetts, issue an order that binds Texas? And the answer is no, so they never even got to the birthright citizenship question because that still has to be litigated in the lower courts.
All right, here's Jonathan Turley. Get your response to this.
Justice Barrett is saying that the only way for justices to exercise this type of universal injunction in some of these cases is equitable relief, but she does not find evidence that that type of relief was granted to these judges. So they indicate that the administration is likely to prevail on this issue. All of that is going to be awfully good news for this administration. They have been really hit with these sort of Lilliputian attacks. There are all these individual district judges effectively freezing federal policy and programs across the country. So it does appear to be a victory. It may be a bit more nuanced, but so far it looks like a good day for the Trump administration.
Yeah, and that's what I think I heard from you on that, on the injunctions issue in particular, Brad. It's nuanced, right? But I think he's claiming victory, and this is what they wanted.
Well, first of all, I am always glad when Jonathan Turley agrees with me.
Right, exactly.
But secondly, and I think more importantly, I don't classify this as nuanced because if you look at the system of government, I mean, go back, read the Founding Fathers' documents. We have limited government here in this country, and the left simply doesn't like limited government. The left wants unlimited government. And so this is a bold strike, not nuanced. It's a bold strike to say, listen, if you, the courts, don't have the constitutional or statutory authority to do something, then you shouldn't be doing it. And I applaud the Supreme Court for standing up for that bedrock core American principle of limited government.
Last night on the show, I had John Murawski on, who did a great report for Real Clear Investigations. John's always doing great work, but this one featured an investigation in his neck of the woods out in North Carolina, in I think it was called Wake County, of public libraries and how public libraries, I'm sitting across right now, they're getting ready for Pride Weekend and Pride Fest in St. Louis, but for whatever reason, public libraries have really latched on to the Alphabet Mafia and the extreme radical nature of exposing kids to some of this stuff. Now, there was a Supreme Court case. Brad, I'm pretty sure that you and I have talked about it over the course of the last year. I've had other guests as well. And there was a decision that allows parents to opt their kids out of school lessons involving LGBTQIA LMNOP books. Here's the president on that.
I think the ruling was a great ruling, and I think it's a great ruling for parents. It's really a ruling for parents. They lost control of the schools. They lost control of their child. And this is a tremendous victory for parents. And I'm not surprised by it, but I am surprised that it went this far. It took us to bring life back to normal. So it's a wonderful, it's parental. And I kept saying, we will give you back your parental rights. They were taken away, and this is a tremendous victory for parents. Yeah.
This one to me seemed like a no-brainer. If you followed the arguments earlier this spring, you knew the court was kind of heading in this direction. By the way, one question just off the top of my head. Were these all 6-3 decisions or not?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, they are. And look at this for a second. In this case, this is the porn case that allows states to place age limits on when kids can access porn online.
Right.
Who would ever vote in favor of allowing kids to access porn online? I mean, it's absurd that anyone would be voting in favor of that, number one. Number two, though, legally, you don't make legal decisions based upon policy arguments. You make it based on legal arguments. And the Supreme Court held way back 50 years ago in Wisconsin versus Yoder that Amish parents had the right under the First Amendment Free Exercise Clause to determine the religious teachings of their children. And yet we've got decisions here allowing basically rejecting this idea that parents have a First Amendment right to determine what their religious upbringing of their children will be by forcing them to be exposed to the LGBTQ literature that is promulgated and pushed by the academic mafia.
So Shannon Bream talked about the dissent in this case.
The dissent by Justice Sotomayor, joined by Justices Kagan and Jackson, says today's ruling threatens the essence of public education. She says it's not about bringing kids together to learn about a particular faith, but a range of concepts and views that reflect our entire society. Exposure to new ideas has always been a vital part of that project until now. She didn't think, the dissenters didn't think, that the parents should get the opt-out. Justice Alito and the majority say they should.
You know, what's ridiculous about that is if you, and I would encourage anyone to go to Real Clear Investigations, and Brad, this interview that I did with John Murawski last night really kind of paints the picture, and again, we're talking about public libraries in that particular instance, not public schools, but there's crossover here. And one of the things that, you know, that I always find very devious, and there's a lot of deception involved, when most of the media covers these stories, and everyone probably heard about Genderqueer, this book that's always kind of at the forefront of some of this stuff with kids. They always want to write about it. They want to talk about book banning. They never want to print the actual words or the pictures in the graphic novels. Look, all you have to do is look at a multitude of public hearings that have taken place before city councils across the country or school boards, where parents go up and they literally start reading verbatim from these books, and then they're shut down immediately by the people on the other side because it's so inappropriate and it's embarrassing and they don't want to hear it. But that's the kind of stuff that kids are being exposed to, and the liberal justices are like, eh, you know what? That's okay, because this is all in the name of equality with LGBTQIA people. It's nonsense.
It is nonsense. And let me show you just how much nonsense this is. Let's flip this as a hypothetical, because in the analysis that you just heard from the left, it's important for schools to allow kids to be exposed to lots of different ideas. Okay. How about this hypothetical? Let Missouri pass a law that says creationism has to be taught in the schools. How quickly would the left come out and say, that's indoctrination, you're forcing our kids to be exposed to this information? So the idea of, oh, they have to be exposed to a whole gamut of information is false from the left side, because it's only one-sided.
You know, there's a great piece. Let me guide people into this, because Andrew Sullivan is a guy who, he's gay, and he was an early advocate for gay marriage. But he wrote a piece that is in today's New York Times. I retweeted this at Mark Reardon KFTK if you want to follow. And he basically makes the case that I've been making, maybe that you've been making for a long time. Look, the gay rights movement in the 80s, in the 90s, in the 2000s, very different, very different. I think we all of an older age can say, and I certainly can say this because I have very, very close friends who are gay. And in some circumstances, I didn't know they were gay because they didn't come out of the proverbial closet for a long time because they were afraid to. And I think that was unfortunate. But society evolved, because then I think what happened is a lot of us realized we had friends, we had neighbors, we had family members who were gay, and we wanted them to have the same freedoms and not be discriminated against. But this movement, and his piece, Andrew Sullivan's piece in the New York Times, is how the gay rights movement radicalized and lost its way. And I've offered this example, and it's a real example. If you, for example, are a gay man, okay, and there is a biological... I could flip it around this way. It works both ways. If there is a biological woman who decides to be a man and you're a gay man and you're not attracted to them, you're transphobic. The same thing applies. If you're a lesbian and there is someone who decides there's a biological man who wants to be a woman, if that lesbian is not in some way, shape, or form attracted to or open to having a relationship with that person because now they say they're a woman, they are considered by the radical side of this movement as transphobic. And there are a lot, I made this case, and I think this is what Andrew Sullivan says in this piece. There are a lot of people who are on the side of gay rights. Look, I've said before, I was for gay marriage before Barack Obama was, right? But they have let this thing slide into a ridiculous area where it becomes a 90-10 issue, Brad.
You're exactly right. And we also saw the exact same evolution on this, Mark, in the racial discrimination arena, where before there were arguments for racial equality, which, who in their right mind is against racial equality? no one except for racists. Okay. But yet now we're in a position, which is what the Trump administration is fighting against, where it's not okay just to be for racial equality. You have to be for racial preferences for minorities. And if you're not, you're a racist. And that shows that progression, that evolution of that idea in the exact same way it was done for the radical LGBTQ crowd.
So I'm going to go back to what he says today. He goes, I'm more than happy. And look, he even says, Andrew Sullivan says he was for some of this transit, you know, right stuff. He says, I'm more than happy to accept that there are some people, not all that many, who don't fit in that binary and want to be protected from discrimination and allowed full access to medical interventions in order to live lives that are true to who they are. Well, we can agree to disagree on that. And I'm with them all the way. After all, I too am part of a minority. Most people live their lives governed by heterosexual desires. Thanks to the gay and lesbian movement, I'm not being asked to. But he says abolishing the sex binary for the entire society, that's a whole other thing entirely, and says madness, I believe. What if I redefined what it is to be a heterosexual and imposed it on straight people, or changed what it means to be a man or a woman for that matter? Then it ceases to be an accommodation of a minority and becomes a society-wide revolution, an overreach that would soon lead to a potent and sane backlash against not just trans people, but gay men and lesbians as well. And he's basically, I think, in that paragraph, summarizing exactly what's happened in the past few years.
Oh, very much so, because once you push it, it's the proverbial boiling of water and putting a frog in it. And we saw that in Tennessee, where the Supreme Court had to go in and say laws that prohibit the mutilation of children are okay by the states. And so there has to be this pushback. Otherwise, this evolution and progression would continue unchecked.
That was why last week's ruling was so important on the transgender issue. And I've said this a couple of times this week. If it wasn't for Jamie Reed, our whistleblower here in St. Louis, I'm not so sure that would have come to the forefront as quickly in this last term as it did. Okay, there were a couple more decisions today, though, weren't there?
Oh, there were several decisions. We've already talked about the injunctions. We talked about the situation with the schools and allowing kids to opt out.
That's separate from the one, though. There was a Texas case that dealt with porn as well, wasn't there?
And that's right, and I kind of referenced that.
Yeah, you did.
I referenced that a minute ago, and that is that Texas wanted to place a law stating that you have to be of a certain age to access pornographic materials online, and the Supreme Court upheld that, again, under the same idea that under the First Amendment, there are reasonable restrictions on free speech. You can't go and yell at 2 a.m. with a bullhorn. You can't protest down Market Street at 2 a.m. Why? Because it's disruptive, and you have to do it some other time. And so in the same way, you can state that there are restrictions on free speech. And it's interesting because the court in that case even cited to the idea of guns and abortion. You can restrict abortions at a certain age. A state that says we're going to not allow 12-year-old girls to have abortions would probably be upheld by the Supreme Court. In this instance, guns also. If you have a law that says, hey, you can't sell guns to 12-year-olds, even though the Second Amendment applies to everyone, it doesn't apply to guns because of reasonable restrictions. And this is just an extension of that idea.
So there was another case that involved a challenge to a black majority congressional district in Louisiana, where they drew a district. It was a case that they kicked to the next term. Is that something they do very often? So there was no decision in that case. They said they're going to re-argue it in the next term.
Right. Yeah. They just basically punted. It was Louisiana's second majority black congressional district, and they objected to how the district gerrymandering is the term that's used. They punted on that and said, we're going to push that off to the next term. Maybe they're too busy. Maybe it's time to, you know, hit the lecture circuit. I don't know. But the Supreme Court has the what's called plenary power. They can do whatever they want when it comes to deciding these cases. And here they exercised it by pushing it to the next term.
Yeah, and I see something else that I don't know this case. Maybe you do or you don't. But they're going to revisit a case concerning whether a devout Rastafarian can sue for damages after his hair was forcibly shaved by prison guards, despite his religious vow to not cut his dreadlocks. I don't remember that case.
No, I don't remember that case in particular, because certainly, we didn't get into the details of it this term. But the Supremes will deal with it next term.
What is your expectation on what might happen in the next couple of years with any members of the court retiring? Because obviously, you know, there's a couple that are getting older. Clarence Thomas's name has been out there. If President Trump's going to, you know, appoint a new justice, it's going to have to happen in the next couple of years. You don't know if you're going to roll the dice. It doesn't seem like Justice Thomas, though, is ready to give up at any time soon, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, he's going strong, but realistically, the left has really been spanked by this idea with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, she wanted to stay on, and that failed. They failed the left on that point. And I would expect Justice Thomas, if he's going to retire, he's going to do it before the end of next year.
Hey, any thoughts on what happened with the media and the leak and the attack on Iran over the weekend? It became, you know, it's funny. I said this on the roundtable. Some of these big stories that we were focusing even Saturday, Sunday, and Monday became, you know, almost afterthoughts. Not that bombing Iran is an afterthought, but so much happened in the aftermath of that the last few days, including these rulings this morning.
Right. And really what bothers me, if I'm going to bring this back to just a legal analyst position, not necessarily political, and that is that I hear the media talking about and amplifying all these voices saying that Trump has violated the War Powers Act. He did no such thing. The War Powers Act only really requires two things. You notify Congress before you do it. It doesn't say you have to notify everybody. Trump did that. It says hostilities cannot last more than 60 days without congressional approval. Trump did that. He perfectly complied with the War Powers Act. And anyone that says otherwise is just being partisan.
You think they're going to get the big, beautiful bill to his desk because it's not looking great right now?
No, I don't think so. Because if the Senate makes any changes, it's going to have to go back to the House. Chip Roy and others have already said they're not going to vote for it. So this big, beautiful bill, I think, is in big, beautiful trouble.
I think so, too. I'm going to spend a little time on that in the next segment. Brad, thanks a lot. I appreciate this on a Friday.
Hey, my pleasure.
Have a great weekend.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, I don't really know what's going to happen with the big, beautiful bill. Senator Thune, who's the majority leader, says that they're going to have the text of the bill available tonight for lawmakers. Fred, have you heard an update since I've been on the air here in the last couple hours?
I haven't, but I know Senator Kennedy was pushing for a vote on Saturday.
Well,
yeah,
so,
going to do it sooner.
And they know that they're still going to vote tomorrow. That's what Thune says. But they're going to bring the text of the latest bill to the forefront. It's interesting because Senator Kennedy, who's always very outspoken, he's a wordsmith. He even said a couple of days ago, look, there were some things in here that I did not know about, that I was not a fan of. And then you had this kind of curveball that was thrown in yesterday because the Senate parliamentarian, her name is Elizabeth McDonough. She was appointed by Harry Reid. She ruled that the proposed cap on healthcare provider taxes violated the Byrd rule, and that governs what legislation can pass with a simple majority and avoid a filibuster. So the reason that the Republicans are in theory able to get this back to the House and then to the president's desk is because they're doing it with reconciliation and they don't have to meet the 60 vote threshold. Now, you don't even have all the Republicans on board with this. Thune tells reporters today, and I don't know what they are, they have contingency plans to keep the bill moving forward even though that's a big part of the bill that is going to fall out. And that deals with Medicaid payments. And look, Josh Hawley's already been someone very vocally opposed to some of these things anyway. But this was a bit of a curveball that came in yesterday. So now they're scrambling. Hawley was quoted as saying, "We have no idea what's going to happen here. We got to work on some kind of fix. Hopefully their fix will involve protecting rural hospitals." He was one of the several senators, we talked about this on the roundtable earlier, because he's very worried about what would happen to rural hospitals in Missouri. Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Jerry Moran, Tom Tillis, all of, Murkowski's Alaska, Susan Collins is Maine, Jerry Moran, I don't know him, from Kansas, Tom Tillis, North Carolina. They're all worried about what might happen in the rural areas and whether or not that tax in particular will push those hospitals into bankruptcy.
Did you hear what President Trump said earlier today about Senator Ron Johnson?
Yeah, so Ron Johnson, and I don't know that he has been on the, you know, the Medicaid front throwing flags down, but Rand Paul and Ron Johnson are kind of on a different front in opposing the bill just because of the reckless spending. So Johnson, and I've said this, you know, we used to know Ron a little bit when he was first elected. I go back with him. I appreciate the principle on which they stand, because some of this does get insane, and I don't know where it's going to land. But there's also the practicality of having to pass a bill and get to the president so everyone's taxes don't go up, right? So that's part of the goal here, but here's what the president said about Ron Johnson.
I was just speaking with Senator Ron Johnson on the One Big Beautiful Bill, and he says he really wants to get to yes for you and get this accomplished.
He does. He's a good man.
But he also said that he needs more time, and he is not certain that the July 4th deadline is possible.
Well, then he's not such a good
because
man.
There's
Now, he's a good man. Ron Johnson's doing a good job. He's very committed. Every Republican senator is committed. And, you know, you could have a couple of grandstanders, in all fairness. You could have somebody else. And it's very dangerous, because our country would go from being the most successful country in the world to who knows what happens with a 68%. Think of it. 68% tax increase.
Okay, and he's right about that. But look, this is not easy to get across the finish line. And I think the realistic view, and I'm doing this from Missouri, not in D.C., we'll see what kind of magic they whip up tonight. It just doesn't seem like they can meet the deadline. Now, Trump also joked about maybe Fetterman coming on board.
It'll be interesting to see if we get any Democrat votes. We should. If I were a Democrat, I would absolutely, maybe Fetterman, because he seems to be the most sensible one lately. If I were a Democrat, I would vote for this bill all day long, because it's tax cuts and so many other things that are common sense. They're basic things. I think they're doing fine. The parliamentarian's been a little difficult. And I would say that I disagree with the parliamentarian on some things, and on other ways he's been fine. But we'll have to see. It's a big issue.
You know, the problem with the parliamentarian is that the parliamentarian has ruled in favor of the Republicans on some of these issues as well. So they go back and forth. There's a little hypocrisy there, but they do have to figure out how to get this thing across the finish line. Now, going back to Senator Kennedy, maybe I should save this for Audio Cut of the Day. He's one of our favorites. He's been, you know, Fred, if I had to rank the Audio Cut of the Day participants, Trump's number one. There's no doubt about that. Who would be number two
John
at
Kennedy.
This point? You think he'd be number two?
Yeah.
Jennings is up there now as well. But Kennedy certainly has to be up there. Here's what he said.
We have cussed and discussed and rediscussed. We need to start voting. Everybody needs to adult real hard. The jackassery has to stop.
Part of the problem in Washington, and again, some of these stands are principled, but some of the problem is compromise is a dirty word.
Here's the bottom line. In any legislation of this magnitude, some people are just going to have to settle for a ham and egg sandwich without the ham. That's just the nature of the beast. And I think that if you put everybody to the test and say, look, this is why God made votes, it's time, vote, I think the bill will pass.
He's just one of my favorites. And then there's one more, and it's just too good to pass up here.
If they disagree, you know, I'm sorry. Fill out a hurt feelings report, buy a comfort rock. But they can't just say, I disagree, and I'm putting the entire action by another branch of government on hold because I don't like it. And that's what they've been doing. And they're not the superior branch of government. They're an equal branch of government.
I am not familiar with the comfort rock. Are you familiar with the comfort rock?
No, but I think I like it.
Can I get one?
We're going to try to for sure. Susan L. Ward is coming up next.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
So inspired by this piece that I saw in the Wall Street Journal, Sue, a couple of days ago about prenups and the prenups of the super wealthy, Susan L. Ward is going to join us here in a moment. But from that story, listen to this. They have some people that are quoted. And, you know, they also indicate that a prenup that might be enforceable in New York City might be tossed in London. The impetus for this story is because Bezos is getting remarried this weekend, and he did not have a prenup the last time. We don't know if he does.
Well, he
this
didn't
time.
Have his money back then either.
Well, he had a fair amount though. He just didn't have as much as he does now.
I thought they started it in the garage, and she was helping, and they were married for 25 years and all that.
That might be. Okay, but listen to this. There are lawyers in this piece that say we have the agreements vetted by lawyers in jurisdictions to make sure there's not going to be a problem. That's if, you know, something is enforced in New York and might be in another country. But this is the one that really stuck out. A couple of these prenups can lay out who in a divorce supervises the packing of personal belongings or can require a spouse to move out within 30 days. Some clients demand that their prenups stipulate that a spouse maintain a specific weight within 20 pounds of what it was on the wedding day, or exercise 4 times a week during the marriage. Others want financial penalties for cheating. One attorney described a client seeking $1 million a payment for each affair. And then there's this. Randall Kessler, an attorney that's based in Atlanta, recounts a professional basketball player client who insisted in his prenup it acknowledged that NBA players are known to have affairs, so cheating could trigger costly penalties. Susan L. Ward, I don't know how much experience you've had with any of that stuff,
wow.
But those get kind of crazy, right?
That is crazy. Those are things I haven't even heard in 34 years.
Right. Well, I don't know if you were able to read that story, but that kind of got me interested in having you on. How are you, by the way? It's been a little bit since we visited.
I'm great. It's been too long. Yeah, good to talk to both of you.
How common are prenups in Missouri, in this area? Are they kind of rare or not?
And I don't know that they're rare, but they also are not common. You know, they're consistently around. But it's not kind of that big city, coastal crazy wealth that you hear about, like with guys like this. They're here.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, one of the things they also say in this piece is that the ultra wealthy clients aren't trying to leave their spouses with nothing. But one of the attorneys says they're often willing to provide enough in the prenup so it won't be a big negotiation. And they even say that there's sunset clauses. This is interesting. Under which the agreement expires after 10 or 20 years.
Yes.
And that's a way to acknowledge that long marriages grow into genuine partnerships. I mean, I don't know what it would be like. I can certainly see that somebody that does not come from a lot of money, who is perhaps marrying someone who's uber wealthy, might feel a little awkward if a prenup is put on the table. That could certainly affect the entire relationship. But when you're talking about big clients worth billions and billions of billions, there's a lot on the line, right?
Right, absolutely. And here, you know, he's worth billions of dollars. They've had a $50 million wedding, if you hear tell it, you know, and she's, Lauren Sanchez is a professional in her own right. And most of the time, these super, super, super duper wealthy people just try to keep things separate. And like you said, give each other a little money, know that it's not just for the money. But what you see here in the Midwest and the corn-fed country is you usually see second marriages where the parties have children already from the first relationship. And so the idea of a prenup is to not only protect what you've already earned at a certain point in your life, but to also potentially protect children and assets that you've amassed before this next person comes into your life.
Which totally makes sense, right? If your mom gets remarried, you want the money. She wants the money to go to her kids, not necessarily her husband and his kids. I get that.
Right, right. Or if you marry someone that doesn't have children, but they're, you know, much younger and you don't know if you're going to have kids together, that kind of thing. You want to provide, you know, like Mark was saying, they provide for the other spouse and that there are these sunset clauses. But you want to know, number one, that it's a true marriage and partnership. It's not, everybody is afraid of the gold digger, be they man or woman. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of the gold digger coming in the second time around. And rather than have that defensiveness, parties try to do a prenuptial agreement to calm everyone's nerves, their own and usually their grown children.
One of the things they also refer to in that Wall Street Journal piece, it's not necessarily only about money. They do say that sometimes there's step agreements under which a spouse might get $5 million if there's a divorce after 5 years, and then $20 million if it's after 10 or something like that. But a lot of it also, and I don't know if you deal with this, is confidentiality. Because when you have high-profile couples, and I'm guessing Angie and Brad and people like that, and that got nasty, and it took like 10 years to, you know, finally come to a conclusion recently. But they want to make sure that ex-spouses don't share things that are intimate, financial records, embarrassing stories, things along those lines also come into play, don't they?
True. They do. They do. And you have to be sure that each side is getting something for what they're giving. So, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander stands here, which is we don't want to talk about embarrassing situations. We don't want to disseminate finances, you know, and in exchange for that, I will protect you and keep you financially, you know, should we fall apart. And you're absolutely right about how the money payments or the support payments could get bigger as the marriage gets longer, which is also why the sunset clauses, as you're calling them, sometimes come into play. They're very fragile agreements. I think that a lot of people think that, hey, we made this deal and it's ironclad, but I really caution people in terms of how we go about them. Everybody's got decent intentions, but they're hard to enforce sometimes.
Susan, this is Fred Bottomer. What do you advocate with your clients when they're getting married? Should they have separate banking accounts, separate checking accounts from their spouse?
It depends what number of the marriage it is, Fred.
Oh, really?
So people are probably smarter by round two and three, huh?
No. No, because we all have forever hope, right?
Yeah.
Everybody lives with hope. But what we do on a second time around is if there's a prenup, great, but you have to make sure that everybody, each side is represented, that there's a ton of time before the wedding, that there's full disclosure of all the debt and the assets, because you want to know if somebody's got a ton of debt. You want to have plenty of time to go through those things with independent counsel. And then there are also ways under Missouri law that I tell people, in spite of your prenup or without a prenup, yes, here's how you can keep this asset separate property, as Missouri calls it. Or here's how you can keep this money separate property under Missouri law, so that if the prenup fails, we can probably have a significant portion of assets protected by other measures.
But if you had to put a percentage number on the clients that you deal with that have prenups, I'm guessing it's still a pretty low percentage, isn't it?
Oh, it's very small. Yeah, I would probably, my clients, probably 5% or less.
But I asked you this question, I think, about a year ago, and maybe I was surprised by this. What percentage would you say of divorces end up going into a trial?
Oh,
about 5%.
Okay, that's still a pretty low number.
It's still very low. Our divorce litigation, our trial percentage is the same as most litigation. 90 to 95% of your cases are going to settle. Now, that may be on the courthouse steps, mm-hmm. which means that, you know, we've spent significant time and energy getting ready for the full blown trial. But at the end of the day, we probably try between 5 and 10% of the cases a year.
And is there a way to categorize why those fine? And these have to be high asset cases if they're going to trial, don't they?
No, they could be custody and they could have
custody.
No asset.
Okay, really? Yep. So is it more so that where people are just inflexible and trying to come up to an agreement with the kids is what you're saying?
I mean, it's one of the bigger reasons, but custody is really important because whether you have money or not, if you're going to feel strongly about what that parenting plan looks like, you're going to go to trial potentially. But I tell people that you really got to think about that return on investment. If you're going to spend $25,000 on a trial or, you know, $100,000 on a trial, what's the ROI?
Right.
What are you getting out of it?
Right.
Are you getting one more night a month with your custody? Are you getting 2 nights a month with custody and you're spending their entire college account over it? You know, you got to kind of look at all of that.
Susan, do you recommend that people look at doing a prenup before it, or are you fine with the 5% and it's usually the way to go?
I find that prenups are, they're just so mercurial in terms of, judges are so mercurial in terms of how they're received, at least here in the metro area, that I don't love them. I certainly take them when they're part of the case, but in terms of do I draft them and review them, I'm very cautious about how that happens. And we are very, very careful here about how much time is before the wedding. And I won't do it if the other side's not represented. And there's many factors where a prenup could fail. And if I'm going to take that prenup, it's not going to be, you know, 3 to 10 weeks before the wedding and just check market. I can't do that.
By the way, if you need any help from Susan, you can always go to the website, stlfamilylaw.com. It is great to catch up with you. Since we have last spoken, I've been raving about this on the air. You got a new office, don't you?
Ooh,
I do. It is nice digs in De Pere, right off 270 in Manchester.
Awesome. We're sending people there on a regular basis. Hopefully not too many people because these are emotional cases, but obviously you're there for them if they need you on the website. Best way to contact you. Thank you, Susan. I appreciate it.
Okay, take care, everybody.
Thank you.
I don't think any of us are going to the Bezos wedding this weekend, but that story was really, how about the NBA guy that says, you know what, pro basketball players have affairs, so let me have some. And maybe somebody signed that? That's even crazier.
Yeah.
You know, Senator Schmidt is right, and they are able to get to something that passes tomorrow and send it back to the House. That would be a major victory for Trump because things have been falling apart here in the last couple of days. And if Senator Thune, who's the leader in the House, can get everyone wrangled and together and they kick that back in the Senate, I think I said the House, and they kick it back to the House, I mean, that's big political victory because these things are not easy. My guess, I'm always the pessimist, is I don't think they can do it because I think the timetable has now been thrown off. But we'll see what happens. We'll review all of that on Monday afternoon's edition of the show.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, we featured a lot of the audio from the Supreme Court decisions. Trump had a wide-ranging news conference this morning. He was very open, seemingly in a good mood. He also had a message for the Ayatollah of Iran.
And I'm putting out a little statement. I'm going to respond to the Ayatollah's statement yesterday that we won the war. Oh, God. We won the war. And I said, look, you're a man of great faith, man who's highly respected in this country. You have to tell the truth. You got beat to hell. And Israel was beat up, too. They were both beat up. And it was a great time to end it. It was quick. They got the hate out. There was a lot of hate. A lot of hate. It would be great if they didn't have that hate. But the last thing they're thinking about is nuclear weapons right now.
Now, he insists that they're done with their nuclear hopes. Obviously, we've had people weigh in this week saying no.
I believe that, and again, time will tell, but I don't believe that they're going to go back into nuclear anytime soon. They spent over $1 trillion on nuclear, and they never got it together. And nothing was moved from the site, by the way. To do that is very dangerous. It's very, very heavy material.
By the way, he's right about one thing. Time will certainly tell. And we will have the very latest on all of this on Monday. Sue, have a great weekend.
You too.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com. Get more at 971talk.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app, and this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.